Welcome to another Clan Chat lockdown special, and just as things are starting to ease off, we might need to come up with another name. I'm Craig Anderson. Once again, you're treated to my fresh face as we welcome some guests on for this latest episode. Thanks to all for the positive comments we had in my chat with Gareth last week. So we've decided to bring three more faces in, and here they are. Ta-da!
Hey, I didn't know that intro was going to be so long.
There we go. As you can see, our very own Jerry McLaughlin and two clan captains, and Matt Haywood and our special guest, Matt Keith, and what looks like the most Brady Bunch remake ever. How are you doing, guys?
Super good.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you. Keith, good to have you on board. How's things over in Canada right now?
Yeah, it's been good. Things are starting to ease off a little bit for us, especially here in BC. Thankfully, we've done really well. Things are opening back up, but hopefully not too quickly. And as we get into summer here, I know schools went back voluntarily starting last Monday. Not everybody sent their kids back to school, but they have a lot of still social distancing things, and restaurants are opening back up and stuff like that. But not much has changed really for us as far as trying to keep social distance and keeping ourselves safe and anybody that we come into contact with.
Good. Well, glad to know everybody's all safe and well over there. Jerry, have you recovered from the awards night on Saturday? You and Kevin putting on a bit of a show for us all?
Well, the GCAs was a great success. The disco afterwards, however, I don't know. I'm not sure if I'll ever get recover from some of the sights I saw on that Zoom on that Zoom party. You know, what happens at the GCA's after party Zoom party stays at the GCA's after party Zoom party. That was like the Wild West. It just opened up. I thought the GCA's went absolutely fantastic. I thought it was great. I thought it went really well. We've got so many good people around the club and so many people contributing to that. And, you know, it's like we all want to be together, obviously, but the upshot is it does feel like there's a really strong community that's still together regardless of us all being apart, and it was really good fun. I thought it was great.
I loved your poem as well. I'm sure everybody's seen that by now, that fantastic poem that's went out across the clan social media. Tell us how all that came about.
Do you know, it's obviously every year we do a video, as Keith will remember and Woody will know, whether it's having Mikael Gudvald reading out a story beside the fireplace and things like that, or Scott Tansky and his dreams clan come true. I'm starting to run out of clan puns though. So I think Together We Clan's probably the last clan pun we'll probably get out of it. I think that the idea is like, we don't know what's going to happen this season fully. Like there's lots of different plans, but the one thing that's really important is that we all know that it's going to be the most difficult season that the club's faced and the sport's faced. And we won't be the only ones that do that. And we just needed something, a motto to kind of, you know, just kind of encapsulate how everyone's feeling. And, you know, we know no matter what, we'll keep the clan community together. And, you know, if we go ahead whatever month, or if, God forbid, things get delayed even further, we'll find a way of making it happen. And that seems to just kind of fit.
And Matt, you said how's it all that moving your mouth, Jerry?
What's that?
You said all that without moving your mouth.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's it. That's just the other skills. We're looking at anything to raise money. Ventriloquism is one of the many ways we're looking to raise money for the club.
And of course, Matt Haywood, you're here as well. Cup of tea in hand, as per. How's the garden getting on? Have you finished that yet?
Oh, God, no. I've got another month for that, I think. Yeah.
Is it one of those projects that you wish you hadn't started now?
Yeah, as soon as I went for the first shovel in there, I knew it was going to be a good two-month job, especially with the weather in Scotland. I know it's been a week, but I think it turned in.
Woody, you can't complain about the weather in Scotland as a burnt Yorkshire man on the show. You look bright red. You look sun-kissed.
I am, yeah, but I'm saying this week has been amazing, but
yeah,
summer's kind of over now, I think.
That's quite a pessimistic view. It's not even started.
To be fair, it's usually a Tuesday.
5 years.
You're just desperate not to finish this garden, aren't you? That's all that is. Oh, that's the summer gone, love. Cup of tea.
As soon as the first drop came down today, I'm like, that's it.
Anyway, good to have all you guys on board. Thought it'd be quite good to have a chat amongst us all and get some thoughts on the season just by. Talk about Matt's excellent career in the NHL and his reflections. Your testimonial night as well, Matt. Of course, get Matt's perspective on what was a great weekend for him coming back to the club. But in general, you know, what a summer we've seen. We don't know when we're going to see a season again, so we're treated to seeing each other's faces for now as a way of biding the time. Let's start with you, Keith. You were telling us about life in Canada right now. In terms of the season, and I know you still follow the Clan as well, what did you make of the club this year and how they were getting on?
Well, obviously, we came over at the end of January for Matt's testimonial. And we saw the one game on the Saturday night, but then just to get to know the guys and meet the guys that night, and then also through the week of the testimonial was good. So it looked like, you know, a good group of guys, and obviously I think it ended pretty quick after we came home. The season shut down, which was obviously the right thing to do at the time, and it's unfortunate that it ended that way, because I can only imagine as a player, you play all season and then there's no finish, right? And so you don't get a chance to have a playoff push or make it to the playoff weekend or whatever it may be. So I can imagine it's frustrating as players, but I think pretty quickly everybody realized that this brought on something more than just, you know, you had all these guys all over Europe and European players all over North America who had to figure out a way to get home. And it was a lot more serious, I guess, than what, you know, I originally anticipated or anybody did probably. And you can kind of read online, and I know Chelsea's still in a Facebook group through from hockey wives, and they share traveling tips and stuff like that. And just to hear some of the horror stories that she would read of people trying to get home is I can only imagine how stressful that would be. And never mind for a guy, but for a guy with a family or kids or dogs or what have you. I think it certainly shed a different light on sport and the commitment that it takes for athletes and families in general to move across the world or move to a different part, or just to commit yourself to a team for a year, for sure.
And that's just that. It's not just ice hockey. This is exclusive to, of course, it's sport all over the world. And, you know, for example, in Europe, we're just starting to see football seasons restart again. You know, and Matt, speaking to you as a sportsman as well, the fact that you've been out of action for a couple of months and getting ready to get back in, it just shows you how much we all, dare I say, rely on sport for our own entertainment, for our way of life, isn't it?
I presume you're talking to me, because Keith is no one.
Yes, that, Matt, yeah.
used to coming home and watching the football over the weekend or at night time when it was on Monday nights. But yeah, it does show that it's a big part of our life, and even if it's just something to watch at night time. I'm running out of shows on Netflix. I don't know about everybody else. And playing for sports to come back. I've seen the last couple of days there's more sports coming back behind closed doors, and yeah, I can't wait for that to come on TV, and hopefully we can see how it goes and plan a safe route back into our game.
And just while you're
I'd like
on
to
that,
ask a question, Keith. Yeah, yeah. Craig, if that's right, just while we're on that, yeah. Like, especially to Keith, just because we saw the NHL publish their method of finishing the season, you know, after great deliberation, including all sorts of people and players included in that as well. And it was really it was impressive to see the idea that they had, an exciting, you know, to inject that level of excitement and potential for great rivalries and great series. What's been the reaction of that in North America, in Canada in particular? And also, does anyone have any idea of when that is? There's no dates really been connected with it. So is there anything rumored that you've heard?
Yeah, no, I haven't heard a lot besides what we all probably read, but they say potential return to play, or when a potential training camp could open back up. And you're talking about, you know, hub cities, you know, how's it going to work? And there's so many things. You read different articles every day about, like, oh, well, would you move a team that's a host city, would you move them to a different city because of an unfair advantage of being at home? And I think there's so many things. And there was one player, I think it was somebody from Columbus, I can't remember who it was, but he said that there's a committee that's been put together, to a return to play committee, and he said they deserve a lot of credit because they're putting in so much effort to try and get things, you know, And like I said earlier, like I'm not playing hockey anymore. So I can only imagine. Doesn't matter if it's NHL or, you know, the lowest level minor league. It's hard to not be able to finish the season. And so these guys, I'm sure, are probably antsy to get back, but at the same time, cautiously optimistic that it needs to be done the right way. It needs to be safe. And there's a lot of health issues and stuff that are probably at stake before they can even get back on the ice as a full team.
Mm. And Matt, you know, Matt's just saying there about sportsmen getting keen to come back. I take it you're that way now. I suppose an excuse to go out of doing the garden, I guess, isn't it? But are you at that stage now? You know, we're into June. Are you starting to look ahead to the new season when you get to this time in the year?
Yeah, I think the fact that it's quite short, really, like, it felt like it got taken. It obviously did get taken away from us, and I wasn't ready to stop for the season. Do you know what I mean? So I've kind of not had that bug where I've been like, oh, nice to have a rest. I'm wanting to go again, really. It sounds stupid, but we won our last game of the season and we didn't win a trophy. That's kind of a weird little sensation that was.
Stuff. Jerry, from a club point of view, you know, we had Gareth on the show last week telling us a lot about, you know, what they'd like to do ideally. What has it been like for you and Gareth, you two are really keeping things running as things go? What's it been like for you two the last few weeks when you're planning for a season, but you don't know when the season's going to start, therefore you don't know, you know, if anybody's going to come in? You know, it's just all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? But all you've got to do is come up with several different plans. So you've got to have a plan for the season starting normally. And, you know, I mean, look, there's still an outside chance that there could be a vaccine. And that could, I mean, that everyone said, and all of a sudden, and it could be freely available. It's unlikely. But you've got to have a plan for that, because that could happen. And then there could be a chance that there's the season starts in October, November, December, January. So there's got to be all these negotiations going on with the arena as well, because they're trying to plan. The Clan are in a different position than a lot of teams. All the clubs are in different situations, so that makes it difficult at a league level, and that's more Gareth's involved with the board meetings. But that's really difficult because you've got all these different businesses that have all got a different way of making their club work. So the number of different plans that you've kind of got to have is pretty crazy. I'm just glad that there can't be just one plan. There can't be just a plan for the season going ahead and the season not happening. There's got to be a dimmer switch going through that. It's an analog problem. There's going to be a change in social distancing. We don't know if there's going to be a second spike, so you've got a plan for that. But the club's been in touch with the players and talking with everyone, and has been in touch with potential new players, and obviously there's a coaching situation to be resolved. It's not like nothing's going on there, but it's very difficult to do anything concrete until we have a clear plan from the government. At least in Scotland there does seem to be a clear plan, but yet there's no dates to it. It's similar to the NHL thing. Look, great, that's a clear plan to how they could finish the season, and I'd love to see it, but there's no dates yet because people don't know. So it's difficult, but it's been good to kind of concentrate on like the GCAs and the Clan Classics and stuff as well. They've been great.
I'm fascinated watching you, Jerry, as you speak, because we're not getting much movement from your screen right now. But you're just freezing every now and again, and it's like, you look as though you're posing for catalogues as you go. Anyway.
I might move my head a little bit more, just to give you guys something.
Hold on a sec.
What's your head the other way? We don't see your haircut.
You don't want to see the lockdown haircut? I've been going on about everyone's lockdown haircut, and then I've gone all Peaky Blinders, or Iffy Blinders. I'm okay with it. It makes you realise that, you know, when you watch Mad Max and stuff like that, everyone would have mental haircuts pretty much straight away. So that's it.
So
that would happen.
Saying it's futuristic then. Okay, right.
Yeah. Well, Craig, what are you hiding under that cap?
Well,
there it is.
There you go. Wow.
So there he is.
That's why I'm wearing this.
It's severe. Keith, what have you got hiding under there?
Mine's not good.
Look at that! Look, it just all came out alive. It roared. Yeah. It's only Woody that's kept it normal. How are you doing that, Woody? Do you ever need to cut your hair? Is it just the same all the time? Is that what the situation is with you? Like a Ken doll?
You've seen those Lego people? I get a bit of shave my head and I pull my nose.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still waiting to get a pair of clippers so I can actually do my hair and get it really short again. Hashtag clippers for Craig. That'll be great. I'll get an appeal going.
You can borrow Gareth. Gareth's given himself a fairly severe scalping.
As we saw last week. Right, back to Keitha then. Let's talk about your career. Of course, you had the pleasure of being in the NHL for the first few years of your season, being involved at that kind of level. And I want to take you back to your debut, if I've got my information right. It was at Philadelphia Flyers, a 3-1 loss. But what was it like to pull the shirt on and play for an NHL team?
Oh, it was obviously a day that I'll never forget. I just remember I was in the minors and I lost a tooth in about a couple months before. And that morning after practice, I was going to get my tooth fixed finally at the dentist. And as I was leaving the rink, this is in Norfolk, Virginia, as I was leaving the rink, the general manager and the head coach were kind of like wandering around and kind of, I didn't think anything of it, but they were kind of like hanging around me a little bit. While I was finishing my workout, and then I went to get in the car to go to the dentist, and I was on my way there. What are you laughing at, Woody?
You just had to sneak in that you were doing a workout.
Anyways, yeah, I got in the car and I was driving to the dentist, and the general manager called me and he just said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I was going to get my tooth fixed." And he said, "Well, you can go get your tooth fixed finally, or you can come back to the rink and get your gear because you're playing in Philadelphia tonight." So it was a pretty cool, experience. And you get to get on the phone. And I called my parents right away. And back then it's 2003 or 2004. It wasn't like you could just like click on the TV and find the hockey game or something. Right. Like I think my mom would have probably called our house provider up here in Canada and TV provider and got an NHL package or something turned on. So they were able to watch that game that night. And then I flew up there to Philadelphia and I went straight to the rink. And one of the guys on the team in the minors, he cut all my sticks. So I had he cut three of them. So the three ones that were ready to play with, he had cut them all.
Oh,
they're all broken. Like just like as a joke. And then, Actually, it was the same guy that knocked my tooth out.
And, oh, my God.
Oh, no.
And
are
so
you still
I,
friends?
I was like, oh, yeah. And I was panicking, rushing around, trying to get my sticks ready for the game. And, yeah, it was just a surreal feeling. It was something I'll never forget. And especially now that I'm not playing anymore and I can just kind of look back on those things. It wasn't a very long time that I got to play in the NHL, but certainly thankful that I did get to get there for even the limited time that it was.
Fantastic. I mean, 27 games in the NHL, if I've got my information right, and then pretty much what looks like a grand tour of Europe. Germany, you went to Ingolstadt, Sweden with Örebro, Czech Republic, Austria, and then here to the UK to play with what was Brayhead Clan. Tell us your first impressions of the man in the corner here, Mr. Haywood, when you first met him. And Woody, we'll get your impression of Matt as well when Matt's finished.
I remember Woody. It wasn't so much as the first day, but it was just like I always picture Woody when I think of him that first year. He just like he always had the same track pants on. Like, what do you guys call them over there? Like joggers,
trackies.
Oh yeah,
trackies.
Trackies. The same free ones that he got from Australia, or was that what you were like?
The funny thing is, when Jenny moved house, I lost these trackies for a year. And I was in the loft the other day, I found him, and I was the happiest man alive.
Yeah, Woody and Scott Pitt are the two guys that wear the most free stuff I've ever noticed in my life. It's not, if it's not Warrior, it's not Brayhead Clan, it's Australia or whatever.
I'm actually wearing a free t-shirt right now as well.
Yeah, but no, I sat beside him. Like, I'm sure I've talked about this before, but I sat beside him in the dressing room that year, and he was right beside myself and Steph, in between myself and Stephen Meyer. And Mizey would do some of the weirdest things before games. He just basically would act. Mizey would act like he was a 32-year-old in a 6-year-old's body. Like he was always sore. He was always like, "I'm too old for this," and he was putting like heat rub and cold rubs all over his body. And so he was a good entertainment. But we had a good time that year. And that first year that I was there, anyways, we had a really good team and an awesome group of guys. So, Yeah, that's basically really when I think about it, my first impression of Woody is those track pants.
And Woody, the other way around.
I want to add to the Stefan Meyer thing there. Yeah. So I was sandwiched in between Kiefer and Icy, so I didn't have much room anyway. But, you know, he'd just come over before a game, and for some reason, he'd always be stark naked, but he'd have his socks on for some reason. And he'd always go into the trainer's room and come back and have one of the blue medical gloves. So he'd take 15 minutes to put this glove on because his hands were so big. So he's there. He pours out half a tub of DP, just runs on one leg, and he's going, Woody, can't do this anymore, man. I'm like, it's November, Mikey.
I remember that year we lost that final game in Hull, devastating loss. Anyway, there was a case of beer in the dressing room, so we all were having a beer. And Mizey was taking his equipment off, and as he was taking it off, he was throwing it in the garbage because he said he was done. not putting his stuff back on again. We must all left the dressing room. Mizey must have ran back in and got his gear because he re-signed and came back the next year.
It's funny you say that. That was 2015, that whole game, and of course after that summer was the trip to Germany and Sweden, and I'm sure we all remember it for different reasons, for one thing or another. But from you two guys, Matt and Matt, obviously the trip to Växjö and then Ingolstadt, a place you know quite well, Matt, what was it like to go over there and experience that from your point of view?
I didn't play in either of those games, in any of the CHL games, because I just my shoulder.
Yeah, so what was it like, Woody? Tell us. What was it like for you?
I trained with everyone, and I stood on the bench and took stats.
Yeah, Woody had the best plus minus after that Sweden game.
Yeah. And Woody, can you confirm or deny something for me? I was talking to Finner recently, and he said when you were on the bench during those games that you've just brought up, you were actually playing hangman.
I deny that. I was more of a crossword guy. But I'll say something right now. Every single night I was in the CHL, I had a better suit on than Finner did.
I'd agree.
You looked good too, yeah.
And I built it up, so away in Växjö, badge, whatever you call it, is I had my C team on, and then I got B, A1, A2, A1, I went. So my A1 suit won the one in against Ingolstadt at home.
Right. What's your fault?
One of the things I remember, certainly, Jerry, from our point of view, obviously these guys were involved with the team. You and I had a bit more time to, certainly in Ingolstadt, see a bit more of the place, and you know, in Växjö as well. I remember you and I sitting on that little platform recording a clan chat. You remember that, the Saturday afternoon before the Ingolstadt game?
I thought we weren't going to talk about the time we kissed, Craig.
Such a magical moment. But
it sounded so idyllic the way you...
That's what I was going for, and you've just blasted it. But, I mean, just being there was an experience is what I'm getting at, really, wasn't it, from our point of view?
Yeah, we know how much it meant to the fans, didn't we? That trip was fantastic. And, you know, and all the, especially in Ingolstadt, like the local council and the team had got together and put on that area. And, you know, and the fans our fans are just so welcoming, and so were their fans. So it was a fantastic combination. And, you know, the Clan fans have got an amazing reputation around the league, and for good reason, because they're there to enjoy it, support the team, and enjoy themselves. And that's what they did over in Ingolstadt. And, you know, and a chance to kind of go away together is great. We really should be looking at Clan Travel, like an organisation where we just do travel events and go and watch hockey around Europe. I think people would probably get into that. It was a great trip.
On the outskirts of Glasgow, straddling the Clyde in Scotland's west, is our Purple Army, with Glasgow Clan written on our crest. We come from Scotland and England, Canada, America, Sweden, Denmark and more answer the call, and proudly share the motto that hockey is for all. Together we clan. Some of our rivals are large in number. Some are wealthy, some are old. But the bold clansmen from Glasgow know that all that glitters isn't gold. We raise our voices, stand as one, oh, they'll know the clan are coming. And with our army at their door, they'll complain about the drumming. Together we grow stronger and strive towards our fate, relishing the opportunity to punch above our weight. Together we clan. Hit followed check, followed shot, followed slap. The passion, the action, the hockey was back. Into the fire of the EIHL furnace, clan's 10th season had begun in earnest. Victories against rivals from the east, forcing men of steel to bend the knee, staring devils in the eye and sending giants back into the sea. Together we clan. The battle soon grew hard, and we were wounded, and we were bruised, and we took the flak. But it's not the defeat that defines you, but the strength with which you bounce back. Together we clan. A clan is a community, a family with a common goal. And our clan is our sustenance, feeds our hunger, fills our soul. Together we clan. So we eat of that pain and eat of it hearty. Because when others would self-pity, we plan to party. For we know that day is coming. Again, together, every child, woman and man. We know that day is coming because together we clan.
So on to the testimonial, Matt. You were back in Scotland in January, as you were mentioning, for the occasion of Mr. Hayward's testimonial. From what I gather, the alcohol flowed quite merrily. What's your recollections of your weekend back?
Oh, it was awesome. It was honestly, the whole 6 days was like, it's amazing that you cannot see like people for that long and just pick up exactly where you left off when we all got back together. And I know, like, all the wives had a great time, all the guys had a great time, the current players or the I guess the guys more recently, and then even, you know, guys like Kristanovich and those guys, everybody got along so well, and it's so easy to tell why they were all there for Matt. Just a really good group of guys, and it was a blast. We still talk about it.
Now, it's interesting because I helped you with some of the stuff in the background, Matt, and I was talking to these guys for the different podcasts, and you know, and you mentioned the likes of Kristanovich and guys that I dare say that you would have known probably through reputation, either locally from playing, you know, over in Canada, or from playing with Clan. What was it like to finally meet a lot of the guys that you'd heard of purely by reputation?
Yeah, it was good. Obviously, I've known Kristanovich for a long time. We live about 10 minutes apart from each other. Yeah, it was good to meet everybody, and then to just kind of also see how different it was maybe 10 years ago to what it was 5 years ago to what it is today, right? And I guess that's just the natural progression of a club and you know, how things are changing every day in hockey, with the way people are training, with the way you know, with the media, the marketing and stuff like that, how different things can be. But I don't know. A hockey team's still a hockey team, and those guys were awesome. It was really good to meet everybody.
And Matt, I can't believe it's Matt Hayward that is. I can't believe it's 4 months since the testimonial. It only feels like last week as well.
I know, but thank God it was 4 months ago, and everyone got in and out safely and managed to get it. Because I know Matthew Myers has got his in Cardiff. It was supposed to be last month. He's obviously going to have to postpone his until he is, and it must be stressful because you won't be able to have any events leading up to it or anything. So I'm just happy and grateful that we managed to do it all without a glitch, really.
Jerry, talk about going behind the net with Gary Russell.
I knew that was coming.
I watched you do it on the night. What was going through your head, apart from nearly a
puck? Nearly a puck, okay. Do you know, it was such good fun. And, you know, it's so difficult to... there's so much going on, isn't there? It's so difficult to kind of think of everything. And then when it came to that part, even you're like, how are we going to shout this out? How are we going to do it? I'll just go there. Right, that's fine. Let's just go. I'll do that. There's only going to be a halfway.
You're going to kneel down. We have to tell you to kneel down. You're going to stand up.
I've got a lot of faith in these guys. I think, you know, top pros, I'm sure they can, you know, get a puck on target. And then I saw Killer. Then I saw Killer skating out with his big arm strides. I was like,
Ricky came up to me after that event and said, you know, I've done this four times at every testimonial I've been at and I haven't hit the net once.
You know, I'm not sure what I'm more in shock about, either that happening or the GCA's after party on Zoom. I don't know which one shocked me more, that which experience. No, it was brilliant. For me, it was amazing because obviously it was great because like Keither's era of the team and stuff is when I got really involved with the team and media and obviously still knowing Woody all that time. But to meet Jordan Kristanovic and Ash Goldie and guys that I'd only watched play and stuff, I'd not really known them to chat with and to get on really well with them. And actually just to hear the things that they had to say about the club, like Keither was saying, it was fantastic to hear them like really, really proud of the club and what it become, and you know, and just so glad that it's able to continue. And because it was a tough, at any club, it's tough to start. And for it to come and to have such an event like Woody's testimonial, and just to see the culture and the such goodwill and good spirit from the fan base and all the past players who are also pleased to be part of it is a thing that we should be really proud of.
Yeah, I never had an issue or a thing about anyone getting along or anything. Obviously, I'm the guy who knows everybody, but I just feel like every single guy that came over has the same character, and I just knew that they're all happy-go-lucky and they would all get along with everyone else, but also all the current team who they're supposed to be playing against. And they've all spoke so highly of the fans and of the rink and of the club, and it's just an all-round huge success.
Keither, was there anyone that you... I know it's difficult. It's difficult to see all the game stuff. I know you've kept in touch with the club in terms of the online content and highlights and stuff. Is there anyone that you would see, either personality-wise or player type, that would have maybe fit into a team, a clan team that you were part of? Was there anyone that you think would have went, oh, they'd be an interesting piece in the dynamic?
I don't know. I think that... I mean, you can just see it, and without knowing them personally, but you can see them all like that during that testimonial game and some of the funny stuff that the guys did, right? And it could have been very easy for them just to come out onto the rink and mess around for a couple hours and leave and go home, right? But they're, you know, I can't remember all the names, but the guys, like even guys who came up with little things for their shootout or goalie coming out to play out, and then just going a little bit of an extra mile a little bit to for Matt, but also, you know, for to show they care. It's not, you know, about Matt, but also too about the club. And it was awesome. It was there were some really good guys, and obviously the night of the roast and then the Super Bowl afterwards and stuff. It was good to meet them and get to talk to them and see what they think, you know, and then also too to see the guys that are still obviously Pitter and Becca and stuff. Just great to catch up with them. They haven't changed a bit, and yeah, it was awesome.
You talk about a roast. I think that was the nicest roast I think I've ever seen in my life. I think Matt feels he got off quite lightly there.
Why do you think I chose the four people I chose?
Such a mild grilling. I wrote a few zingers for Keitha and he wouldn't take them. He said they were too mean.
Yeah.
I was like, come on! Use it!
I gave Jonesy the first go because he was nervous. I said, look, you've got the free shot at my nose, you've got the free shot at everything else, and you don't come in. And he was probably the harshest one. I mean, like a paragraph, and then he kind of turned it on Gareth, which
he did really well. Levy's was really good too. It was awesome. Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Keith had the best joke, though. I'll say that for him. He had the best joke.
Which one?
What was that one?
Which one? You or the only one you got to laugh at, really?
That's the thing, right? somebody recorded it. I think it was Chelsea recorded it and sent it to me. I just don't even have it. I can't even watch it. I'm just like, I felt like it was so bad. And I'm nervous even to ask her about it. Like, I think I'm going to ask her one day, like, honestly, tell me what you thought about that. Because she's been
like, well, your opening joke had the whole room laughing for about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
All the current guys, they were all in stitches. So that was
a joke. Yeah. What are the chances of, like, the ex-players being able to do that? I thought it was brilliant, the fact that the guys all came out and smashed it. Because, like, these events can live and die on something like that. Imagine, like, people came up and was like, He would. Is what it is. Yeah. Always played hockey every game.
I like tea.
He likes tea. He is what it is.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
And that, you have to wonder how much had Alex Levitt had to drink before he went up?
I don't think he stopped drinking for the 3 days he was here. Yeah. I don't think any of you did it. I don't think
his shirt was fully buttoned up, so it was early. It was fine. It was fine.
Yeah, whatever.
The police would let him drive.
What a laugh he is, eh?
Stuff. Awesome. Well, let's start to wrap things up, guys. We've been talking for quite a while. We've covered quite a few things as we go as well. You know, it'd be nice to talk about things that are happening right now, but we just don't know what's going to happen. So, how do you plan the next couple of months, Matt? I take it that garden's going to get finished. If Jenny's got anything to do with it,
yeah, garden's definitely going to get finished. hopefully, the weather stays out for me, stays nice. But if not, depending on when we start, probably. When things start easing up, I might get a little job for 2 months or whatever, just to keep me busy and just obviously once we do know a date, then I can really start trying to get back in shape.
So. And Jerry, you and Gareth keeping the wheels turning, basically.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's so much we can still do. What's been amazing is how much you learn what we should have been doing anyway. Like doesn't need to be a worldwide pandemic. We should have been doing Clan Classics during the summer anyway. The Clan community never goes away. We're all here all year round, and everyone enjoys each other's company and enjoys being part of the club. So why aren't we doing that all the time? And looking at other things, because there could be some exciting ideas come from this. Maybe we need to be looking at drive-throughs, or people come and watch the games in drive-throughs. Maybe we need to be looking at all sorts of stuff. So yeah, busy with all my silly ideas that people tell me are daft. And then one of them will stick. One of them will work.
And Matt, you were saying that things starting to get back to normal, albeit slowly, back in Canada. What are you up to right now? Are you back at work yet? Are you just waiting for the call?
Yeah, no, I've been working all the way through. I just got off this morning. I go back in a couple hours for my last night shift. So, yeah, it's pretty busy, obviously, with the whole COVID thing. You know, work's changed a lot and how we're dealing with people and going into houses and stuff for calls and stuff like that. But it's been good learning a lot. So we're doing that. And then Lola is hopefully we can get her into some activities this summer. She's supposed to start baseball about a month ago, but obviously that got canceled. So we're just waiting on, I think, an email from Baseball Canada to say when they can start again. So she'll do that. And then she goes tomorrow to her preschool to pick up her belongings and get a final picture. And then on Friday, she goes to her elementary school, the kindergarten, for like a meet and greet and to pick up a kindergarten package and stuff. So she's really looking forward to that. And, so in September, she'll be in school full time and be hitting the golf course and whatever else.
Wow. And before we
Craig, it looks like you've already started your night shift. We can barely see you now.
I can still see him. Woody's face is lighting it up enough.
I'll tell you something. Keith is the only sportsman in history to, when he finishes his career, decides to get in shape.
I'm looking at you guys on screen, and obviously it's quite dark where I am. I just wonder if the sun goes down a bit earlier in Ayrshire than it does anywhere else. I don't know. There we go.
I'm looking out my window. Like.
Before we do go, and I've just remembered
that was a painting.
We've actually got a couple of questions from you, Matt Keith, that is from fans. Andy Donnelly, who was your favourite line mates in Brayhead and also throughout your career? To put you on the spot a little bit with that one.
I guess obviously Stefan Meyer, just because it was a good couple of years. I played with him a little bit in Abbotsford before as well, and then obviously Lee Salters was good for that year, and then Alex Levitt obviously was really good. But it was funny actually, I think about this quite often, because it was always like Pitter and Becca, or Pitter and Neil Trim, you know, and then they kind of had where guys could interchange. Where'd he go?
I think he got bored of you. Sorry, mate.
Craig's had enough.
Like turn the light on, yeah.
Craig's had enough.
It was getting ridiculous.
Yeah, no.
Craig's got a thing about Scott Pett. He just, he can't.
His name's like that, man.
Oh yeah, like that was it. Probably Mizey and Zalters and Levy for sure. And then throughout my career, it's too hard to really say because I was never, you know, besides my first 3.5 years where I stayed in the same place, I was never really anywhere long enough like to have a consistent line mate, right? You know, I was bouncing around quite a bit, North America, and then in Europe, it was kind of 1 year and move on. So, yeah, as far as favorite line mates, I would just stick with Stefan and Lee. And I don't think I ever played with Woody, did I? Never, because we would have both been centermen. So
I'm British, mate.
You should be a politician, Keith. Yeah, name your favorite line mate. Stefan Meyer, Alex Levitt, Lee Sollers, every line mate that you ever had.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't.
And then you just checked that you didn't play with Woody.
Yeah, no kidding.
And yeah. The next question is James Sansom, who's thanked you for all you did for your 3 seasons with the club, but he asks, how tempted were you to stay on for one more season?
Not at all.
Well, that's that kill then.
Yeah, I don't mean it like that, but I think after Lola was born, hockey just seemed, I don't want to say easy, but that second year there after Lola was born, it was like hockey. I barely even thought about it because I knew, and it just turned out that I was like, for some reason, I was scoring more, and I felt like I was playing well, even though I was so tired. And but and then came back the next season, and I think we kind of talked about it because I re-signed for 1 year, and I talked about it, obviously with Chelsea, it was okay, it's going to be the last year. And I guess maybe if the year had gone differently, you might have thought things differently. But you also have to consider too that we had now a young family, and I needed to be home here in Canada to chase my next dream job. When it's really hard to do that when you're not here and not actively applying and trying to get hired. So we knew right early in that season, but that it was going to be the last one, but it didn't mean that it was just there for the ride. It was, you know, obviously I think it got more frustrating for me as that season went on because I wasn't playing as well as I could have and wasn't contributing like I thought I could have. And obviously we had a disappointing end to that season.
One more question, and it comes from G. McLaughlin. Who's the best Matt to captain Brayhead or Glasgow Clan? So who was
Matt
it?
Hayward.
I think it was an unfair poll, to be honest.
I'm glad you refer to that, actually, Matt. I've got it in front of me. We get the final results, 278 votes. Thanks to everybody who took part for what was 17, just a lot of fun. 17% in favour of Matt Hayward. An 83% swing for Matt Keith, so it just shows you how popular you were with your time with the club, Keith.
But that's because you've still got time, Woody. You've still got, like, it's you're the current incumbent.
Yeah,
so it's like everyone's just waiting. They don't want you to get too cocky.
I'm not trying to butter me up because
you'll really slip on the ice.
it's obviously Keith. You brought him over to be that talisman and that. Yeah, that Scottish connection, so it made sense. And obviously, with the career he had and everything going on in his life, he was obvious choice to be a leader. And look at the guy he is. Everyone knows he was the leader of that great era we had. So definitely got to be Matt Keith.
There we go. We never paid him to say that, Keitha. Isn't that nice? Right, well, we'll end it there, chaps. Thank you so much for joining us on this edition of Clan Chat, another lockdown special. We'll come up with another name, I think, as things goes on. But Matt, Keith, thank you for joining us from Canada. Good to talk to you again. Matt Hayward, I dare say we'll have you on again soon. And Jerry, you as well. And
cheers, man.
Chaps, stay safe.
Good. Bye. See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Stay safe.
Bye.
See you.